Hello and welcome. You're watching Left, Right and Center. I'm Gargi Rao with our big focus and our first focus on the show tonight, a strain in India-Canada's relationship. What is the way out? Now, days after being spoken to firmly by Prime Minister Narendra Modi on the rising secessionist activities and Khalistan supporters attacking Indian diplomatic missions on their land, Canada has now said it's postponing a trade mission to India planned for October. The two nations had earlier said that they aim to seal an initial trade agreement by this year itself, but now negotiations for a bilateral free trade agreement have reportedly been stalled. No reason really has been given. Now, relations between the two countries, Canada has the largest Sikh population in the world after India, have been strained over the increasing Khalistani activities there. Following a meeting between Prime Minister Modi and Prime Minister Trudeau on the sidelines of the G20 recently here in Delhi, India issued a strongly worded statement expressing strong concerns about continuous anti-India activities by extremist elements in Canada. Back home, after he returned from the G20, Justin Trudeau told reporters that Canada will always defend freedom of expression, freedom of conscience, and freedom of peaceful protest. So that's where it stands. And now a pullback on these trade talks. So where is the relationship between India and Canada headed? Well, to talk more about this, we're joined now by Terry Milioski, a retired senior correspondent, CBC, and author of Blood for Blood, 50 Years of the Global Khalistan Project. Thank you so much, sir, for joining us on the program. And that really is the question, Terry Milioski, as this is something you've watched so closely, the way it's grown in Canada. The pro-Khalistan group has become this very powerful vote bank, and a vote bank that neither sides can ignore. Not just Mr. Trudeau, but the opposition in Canada as well is seen to go very soft on this vote bank. But at the same time, for India, this is hugely problematic, especially the kind of incidents that we're seeing take place there in Canada.
Well, you're right to mention the vote bank politics, because all parties in Canada have been playing that low for many years now, and it's been working for them. They're reluctant to upset that nice little arrangement where, you know, they go to the Baisakhi parades at the Sikh Gurdwara, and they smile and wave and hustle for votes, and they look the other way when the parade floats go by with pictures of gun-toting martyrs and assassins and mass murderers, like, for example, Tovinda Parmar, the author of the atrocity of the Kanishka bombing in 1985. And so it's been working pretty well. But the Khalistanis, it has to be said, more recently, have really pushed their luck. And that's what's behind the relations going from what was previously cool now to frosty, I would call it. What they've done, you will recall during this past summer, no doubt, the escalation in Khalistani activity with these killer posters, for one.
Yes.
Posters which name Indian diplomats, show their pictures and their names, and name them as killers on the basis for which there is no evidence whatsoever, that the theory is that the Khalistanis are advancing, is that India is responsible for sending hit squads out to assassinate prominent Khalistanis overseas, most recently and most importantly in Canada, Hadi Najjar out in Surrey, British Columbia. As I say, there's no evidence that India had anything to do with it. It looks like a gangland killing, which is not at all unknown in Surrey. But that's where these killer posters started naming, and now they're putting up rewards if you reveal their home addresses. They're putting targets on the backs of Indian diplomats, and that's something about which Prime Minister Modi's statement at the G20 was absolutely correct. I'll mention one other case, and that was during the summer, you will recall, in the streets of Brampton, which is kind of little Punjab in Canada. They rode through the streets on the back of a truck with a full life-size diorama celebrating the assassination
of
Prime Minister Indira Gandhi in 1984. So there you had the Prime Minister's life-size image splattered all over her sari with red paint to make sure that kids got the message, and the two Sikh bodyguards who killed her are blazing away at the front of the truck. And this was held up as something to, we were going to honor the martyrs. That was the theory of this display because they did a great thing. And this is what they're teaching their children, that this was a great thing.
Right, and
now,
this is
there's
just
been other examples that'll go on if you want, but,
right,
but
this
I mean,
is
that's
just
enough,
grown
I think,
over the years
to illustrate it's what Prime Minister Modi was talking about.
Right, Mr. Milewski, this has just grown over the years. It's hugely problematic. We can't even show that, you know, that parade and what was shown about Indira Gandhi. It was so highly offensive. And a demarche was also issued to Canada. But there's really been no sort of action taken at all. And, you know, we have Justin Trudeau talk, the Prime Minister, talking about freedom of speech and democracy and the freedom to protest. But it's really difficult to see how there's a way out of this, given the vote bank politics that we're seeing over there, and as you said, we've seen it's grown more strident. And you're right about, you know, when we talk about Kanishka bombing. I was in fact a child in Toronto at that time. I was there for a few years, and I knew people who died on the Kanishka plane. But it's just a very problematic how strident it's all become, and how the graffiti you've had put there, as you said, the posters, and with India taking this stand that it has, and you know, the Prime Minister having words with Justin Trudeau, and the Prime Minister Justin Trudeau going back and saying what he did, how do you see, you know, bringing this gap together? What is the way out in repairing this India-Canada relationship?
Well, they have to agree. They probably will eventually, but it's certainly going to take some time. They're both right and they're both wrong to some degree. The Indians can reasonably complain to Canada that this goes beyond free speech in Indian eyes, and the Canadians can rightly complain to the Indians that, look, we're not going to abolish free speech just to please India. No Western democracy is going to do that. You're going to have to live with some of this. But what does some of this mean? Well, the boundary line for most countries, and Canada, I'm afraid to say, I'm ashamed to say it as a Canadian, is pretty out of date in its legislation. For example, Britain had banned, back in 2006, they had a new terrorism act, and it banned the glorification of terrorism. So when you get across the line into the incitement of violence, the glorification of terrorism, by, for example, putting up martyr posters of famous terrorists, and calling for attacks on Indian diplomats, that should be made illegal and is illegal in many countries in Europe. And I gave the British example. They've done that 17 years ago. Why not Canada? That is, I think, a reasonable complaint where Canada could do something to update its legislation and show the Indians that they get it at the moment.
Right, when our embassy was defaced in London, we took it up very strongly. And the next time there was a protest, that whole area was cordoned off and the protesters weren't allowed near the embassy.
Yes,
the British are responding.
Yes.
Yes. So that was a very positive, you know, response from authorities there in London. But Mr. Milewski, also, how is this talked about domestically by the media there in Canada? There's also all this talk of interference, and, that has been something that's talked about, interference from India.
Yes.
If you could tell us a bit about that.
Yes, you're right to bring that up, because there's a bit of translation needed here.
Yes.
We're two nations separated by a common language in this respect. In Canada, foreign interference in the Indian context translates that as, we're taking the assassination theory seriously. It means that the advocates that we must investigate Indian foreign interference, what they mean is, this is the background to Trudeau's comments, oh yeah, we discuss foreign interference. The background is that we're taking seriously the idea that Prime Minister Modi is sending out, I don't know, hit squads of deadly diplomats who are running around the globe wiping out Khalistanis. Once again, there's no evidence for this, but that's what they mean. And that is that only makes the Indians madder, and it really should. The idea of foreign interference really arose in the context of China interfering in Canadian elections. Let's not get into that.
Right.
But there is a pending investigation in Canada into the subject. And that's another bone of contention
Yes.
between the two sides, if Canada really is going to take that seriously, I mean, that's an insult, isn't it, to the Indian side?
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Mr. Terry Milewski, for joining us on the program.